Good evening, everyone. My name is Chris, and I'm an alcoholic. And I just want to start by thanking the group for giving me the privilege to come up here for 4 weeks and share my experience on going through the steps. It's my home group, and it's my opinion, which doesn't mean much, but it's the best group in AA. And, I know that the people here carry the message, and it's been a pleasure to walk shoulder by shoulder on the journey with you guys. It's really an honor to be a member here and be friends with the group members. I love you guys, even though I might not show it in the business meetings. I really do mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's a great group, and it's an honor to be here. So we'll just we'll just get right on to step 10, and I think the instructions for step 10, they're right in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Step 10 is not about writing inventory. It's really about watching my thoughts as I go through the day. The way it got explained to me in the beginning is kind of just taking like a pause before I fly off the handle the way I'm so used to. And it says it in our literature when these things crop up. So, it's not like I'm going through the first 9 steps and, as a result of going through the first 9 steps, I'm going to be, rendered white as snow and nothing bad is ever going to happen and no defects are ever going to crop up. No, 10 is about watching for the defects, and when they crop up, I'm given instructions what I do. I pray to God to help. I make amends if I help someone. I turn my attention to someone I can help. And that's kind of how I go through my day here. When I'm not doing that, bad things happen. And the last time I can remember something bad happened was like a couple of days after the hurricane. I was not watching my thinking, and I was out of the car on Hempstead Turnpike threatening another man's life. That's what happens when, I'm not watching. I'm still like crazy when I'm not, when I'm not watching my thoughts. I could still go, and it's crazy how, everything could be good. I'm walking along, and, the guy cut me off, and I'm like, unbelievable, and I have to, chase him down, and then, at the light, I'm keep honking, and I know I shouldn't be doing this, and I keep going, and before you know, I'm, out of the car, and I'm like, I'm going to wind up in jail sober. That's me and my best thinking again, but it's usually just directing back to back to God to remove these defects and take the right action, because I still can't do that. I still can't do that on my own power. We talked about it last week, how I don't have the ability to not be selfish. I don't have the ability to not be angry. I'm still angry. Not an angry person anymore, but I do have my moments where I get angry. So 10 is kind of just watching my thinking as I go through the day. It's not I thought it was like writing an inventory every night, but if we're going by the way it is in the big book, it's watching my thoughts, watching my actions, and taking the right action with the help of God. And there's great promises. We read the 9th step promises in meetings, but the 10th step, it's the problem is removed. This is why I came to AA, right? I used to walk around with the obsession, how am I going to do it? How am I not going to do it today? I'm going to not take that way home, and not hang out with this group of friends tonight because I'm gonna be good for a while, and I have to give my money to my grandmother so I don't spend it, and that's I either thought about how I'm gonna not do it, how I'm gonna do it, and now the problem is gone. I feel terrible when I'm not gonna mention the neighborhood, but we went to a meeting on the North Shore. And it was a beginner's meeting, and before the meeting started, they talked about the things they do to not be able to drink, and it was like they threw out all these crazy relapse prevention techniques, and I'm just happy that I don't have to live in that chaos anymore because I did it for so long. It's not about I have to call six people and my sponsor, and before I eat lunch, I have to call them and tell them what I'm doing, and all this craziness that I learned. Like, the problem is removed now because I did everything up until this point. And I'm allowed to go places where they told me I wouldn't be allowed to go in rehab, as long as my motives are good. And this is, like, a big thing, Am I going to the bar on Friday night just to hang out, and watch the Knicks because, I want to steal vicarious pleasure? Like, that, I don't really know if it's a good motive. But I could say this, when the hurricane came and I was in Long Beach helping out, they served alcohol in Knights of Columbus, and that's where I was volunteering. Am I not going to go there and help out because they were, like, serving alcohol to the local people there? Like, that would have been ridiculous. This idea of carrying, bringing God into all of our activities here, is something we're supposed to do. And I really believe what the big book says, that we are safe and protected if we do that. I wasn't, like, sitting there in Knights of Columbus, like, oh, this is great. It's like I was had good reason to be there. They were serving alcohol. The thought was not there. I'm protected. And that's been my experience around this. Been able to attend my sister's wedding. I have a family full of non-alcoholic people. And, at the old meetings I went to, they would have been like, I don't know if you should be doing this, Chris. You're really playing with fire here going. I don't have to call someone every time I go to do something. It's kind of like I know that it's okay because my motives are good. I don't go to take from the occasion anymore. It's to bring. I shouldn't expect the world to change just because I don't drink. I don't think I should have to call Gino's and tell them I'm coming for dinner later to hide the wine list. Like, that's ridiculous. But this is the sort of thinking that some people operate under. Thankfully, I've had great people come before me, show me a better way, and I don't have to do that, and I'm free today. This is, like, the great thing about AA for me. It's not 270 and 90, or, I love going to meetings. Going to meetings is like going to the bar. I get to see my friends, I get to hang out, and this and that, but, the freedom that I get from going through this process, that I don't have to worry about having a limit on the amount of money I take out of the ATM, right? Or I can't go to this place because I drank there and stuff happened, or, I can't watch Scarface, or, the list could go on, I poke fun, but the unfortunate thing is a lot of people in AA, live by those set of principles. They're not AA's principles, but, I can only, hopefully, standing up here, let someone know there is a better way. So that's been my experience with Step 10, that I am recovered, not recovering a day at a time. I live a day at a time, but the problem has been removed. And as long as I keep my spiritual program of action going and not maintaining but growing, I will stay in that recovered condition. Not cured, but I don't think about drinking anymore. It's like if I break my arm, it recovers. But if I, I can break my arm again if I do whatever I did. And if I go back down that slippery slope, like stop working with people and, start to let the character defects start coming in and crazy stuff, it's like I'm liable to drink again. That's the analogy I like to use. And another thing about Step 10 watching, it's like it's practice. I'm not going to be perfect all the time. It's something I have to practice all the time. And I said, like, I like analogies. I like to play basketball. So I said, you know, when I started playing, I couldn't dribble between my legs. I couldn't, like, shoot from far away. You know, it's like practice. You get better as you go along. And that's like this. I'm going to have my moments where I fall short. But as long as I'm continuing to try and practicing it, you know, good things happen. And my experience with Step 10 is that the promises in the big book have come true for me. And, you know, I was one of those people who used to obsess about how am I going to do it or how am I not going to do it. And since that is removed, it's really the miracle of AA for me. That's what I could say about that. Step 11, when I wake up in the morning, you know, I say a quick prayer to God to direct my thinking and to divorce me from selfish motives, divorce me from self-pity and dishonesty. You know, and a lot of people say they, you know, they have to do this before they do anything. I, like, get the coffee going and... But it's really the first thing after the coffee's on, and I'm like, I sit there in the dark, and I think it's a personal thing. You know, I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way to do it. I think it's just to do it, and you have to find something with your prayer and meditation life that works for you. You know, when I was new, I was so crazy, had so much anxiety. This idea of being able to sit in a meditation for like 20 minutes, it's just something I could not fathom. You know, I would come to meetings and I my sponsor would say, oh, I have a 20-minute meditation, and I'd be like, this effing guy is nuts. 20 minutes, like 20 seconds for me is a lot, but it's something that I have to practice, and it's evolved for me, and it's been a great experience. One thing that I do every day is, I plan my day. Like, it's really simple, and I never did it. It used to just be, wake up, the chaos is going, like, well, I have a million things to do, and taking that extra time that, planning my day out, which really, if you look up meditation in the dictionary from, like, when Bill Wilson was living, and that's what meditation was. It was about planning. So I plan my day. I'm going to be at work. I'm going to be at the meeting later. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to visit my grandma in the hospital. And just seems to go better that way when I have it mapped out in front of me. When I'm kind of setting myself up for the 10th step. That, okay, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. I'm not so surprised when something bad happens. And, that's been what's been working for me lately. I've been doing a little work with another outside book, The Four Agreements. I know a lot of people in here probably had experience with it. I don't know if I'm even allowed to say that because we're recording it. I don't want to endorse anything, but that's the book I'm using now. And, the principles are really parallel with the AA principles. That's what I found. But it's been a good experience with that plan and ever-evolving. It's like it's not the same thing every day. I don't sit with a timer or a certain amount of time. I kind of just let the spirit move me to what I'm going to do. But I always make sure I give myself enough time. I used to say, I'm going to watch the game tonight, and the Knicks are playing the Lakers, and it's on the West Coast, so I'm going to get to bed late, and I'm going to miss, I got to sleep late now. I don't use that excuse anymore. It's, I have to get up early and take that time, because when I don't, I'm so crazy if I don't do this. Like, I have missed days where I overslept or whatever, and I'm crazy, so I make sure, like, the alarm on this iPhone is so loud, and it gets me up every day. It's like, I wake, and I'm good. So, make sure I do it every day, and and at night, I constructively review my day, not destructively, because that's what I could do. I could beat myself up, and I don't drift into remorse like I used to, and just harp on all the places I fell short. Because like I could do that really good. You know, I screwed up at work today. I spent money that I shouldn't have. I got into a fight. Yelled at someone on the road. I gave him a finger and this and this, and I gave someone a dirty look at the meeting and this, and before I know it, like I'm like the worst person in the world, and I should be going away for 10 years the way I make it. So it's important that I constructively review my day. Constructive to build on. How do I build on it? And then there's questions on page 86. I don't write it, but I take the big book out and read it every night. And it just it's like a barometer of where I'm at. Was I thinking of myself most of the time? Yeah, I probably was. But not like I used to be. It gets a little better usually every day. And I've found that the more I am trying to pack into the stream of life, and the more I answer to those questions the way they probably should be answered, the better my life is going. But when I'm like in my selfishness, in my head, how am I going to take from the world? It's usually everything's going wrong, and I'm I'm like fighting with everything, and it's usually this stuff is all connected. It's not like I heard Paulie say once, you can't like pick one step to fix this problem. Like it's all connected, and it's all circular, and it's not like you could pick one and do the rest. And usually, like when I'm in it all, everything's going along well. And even when it's not going along well, I'm able to like get through it. And that's like the other thing here. I could never something would happen, like if I had a problem with the car or a family problem, like it would just go right into chaos. Now it goes like to God. God, what would you have me be? I ask for the thought. I don't like act on it right away, and that's been a big thing for me too, because I'm so capable of getting crazy. I know that. So that's been a big addition to the way of life too. And sitting there and usually ending it, with a prayer, just thanking God for all the blessings for the day, because I could still be like, everything's not going my way, and I like to just focus more on the positive nowadays, and be grateful for the things that I do have, because I know I am very fortunate compared to a lot of people out there. So, I do constantly remind myself that I am lucky, and that helps me a lot too. And the miracle of step 11 is that I'm able to carry it out and do step 12, carry a message, message of hope, and be able to be used as a vessel by God to help people who are suffering from this terrible disease too. And this idea of sponsoring people from when I first came in, and I've had so many sponsors, but the people who sponsored me, and I'm gonna say the right way, like not call me every day and tell me what. Tell me about your day, and didn't really give me any direction, but able to follow the way that the people who gave me direction on how to get better, and doing that with people has been like such a great joy, and something that I make sure that I take the time out to do, because when I came in here, life was, no one wanted anything to do with me, and I had all the time in the world to do whatever I wanted. And as I got better, and I started to get gifts in my life, with that, the time goes away too. But, you know, it's just something that I keep up front. Whenever someone needs that help, I make sure that I'm there for them. You know, sponsoring them, taking them through the work is one thing. But I think being of service is, you could do it many ways. But I'll stick with, you know, the 12th step. That you know, I've had a spiritual awakening, and a lot of it has been people who have lingered in contemporary AA and have gotten into that revolving door that I've got, that I was stuck in, you know, that you know, they have to make 90 and 90 and do all that crazy stuff. And you know, I was working with a guy last week, and he's like, I've been in here for 2 years, and I learned more meeting with you twice than I did in 2 years. And, you know, and that's really my job. It's not to tell you, you know, what to wear to work or whatever else. You know, it's, you know, to get you through this as quickly as possible so you're not dependent on me, and you're going to be dependent on, you know, whatever you choose to be your God, whoever you find your God to be, you know, because I can't save, like, that's the message I give them. I can't save you, but I could show you what happened, and if you follow this, then your results will probably be the same. And that's my experience, too. You know, I had the opportunity to work with a lot of guys. The ones who put the process into their life and follow it and, you know, write a thorough fourth step and are honest in their fifth step and, you know, make a good run at their amends, you know, they're still around and, you know, sponsoring people and living lives. And I see other guys who, you know, think this is a joke, you know, and think this is like, you know, I could just show up once in a while. Some people could do that, you know, and God bless them if they can, but some people really pay the price. And if they do that, what do? You know, I'm available to work with you again. You know, it's not about kicking the wounded when they're down, I guess. You know, because I failed so many times before I was able to get better, and that's another thing. You know, I think people who do relapse feel that guilt, remorse, shame, like, yeah, they did something wrong, and they don't even have the power to not drink. They don't know that a lot of the times, and just to let them know that, you know, I'm here for you. It's you know, it could mean the difference just putting your hand out. Like, we read that I am responsible thing at the end of every meeting. Putting our hand out for that person could mean all the difference in the world. Because I remember when I was in that revolving door, like, people who I probably never will see again, I don't even talk to, just, you know, taking that time out to talk to me. And, you know, that could have been the difference of me coming back or not. You know, they didn't say, oh, don't come back, he drank again. You know, thank God they didn't do that. You know, and I have to also keep up front that my recovery began with another person's 12 step. You know, me attending a meeting really and getting the meeting list with all the phone numbers really didn't, you know, being abstinent didn't do anything for me. But sitting with another person and them explaining step one to me and me really having my step one experience was where it began for me. You know, I was not in AA coming around for the first couple of years. I was attending meetings. But, you know, I thought being abstinent was enough. You know, and the book even says the elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. I had, like, missed that line, though, for a couple of years. Because, you know, I thought I didn't drink. I'm a winner. So my recovery did begin when other people took the time out to, you know, share their experience and not tell me that step one means I can't drink. It means that I'm going to drink unless I really start to, you know, do some things. And that's the message that I share too today. You know, I always say I'm not, like, here to, like, you know, coddle you. Like, if you want to call me on the phone, that's fine. It's not required, though. And, you know, this is, like, this is what keeps me sober. You know, I need to be self-sacrificing, you know, with my time. And it's something that I've come to enjoy. And, you know, I get to do it. It's not like a chore. Because there was a time when I was, like, working with, like, 8 people. And it got to be a chore. And I was pissed off. And, oh, my God, I got to go all the way out there now. I hate Suffolk County. And I got to go out there. He's probably not even serious about this. You know, and I'm not responsible. You know, what happens. I'm just here to put in the effort. What you do with it is your business, but, you know, like, that's, like, the one thing I've done consistently, 4 months sober. You know, my buddy Sean was the first guy I worked with. He didn't stay sober, but I did, so.
And, welcome.
Yeah, and that's, like, you know, and that's, that was Bill's experience, that, you know, he carried his message, and a lot of Bill's prospects didn't stay sober, but, you know, my point is, I'm responsible only for the effort. You know, I can't get myself sober, so I'm not gonna get anyone else sober. Because I tried to do that, and I go crazy. You know, like I try to manage other people and like try to like do too much. I can't do it though. You know, I'm only here to carry the AA message. And like I said, the ones who put it into their life have you know, done okay, and the ones who haven't, that's up for debate. So, yeah, I'm going to close now and it's your meeting. Thank you.